This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Spreading the inside scoop to Patriots Nation. It's Mayo Mondays with Coach Gerard Mayo on the Greg Hill Show.
Gerard Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hi, Coach.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
So you focus this week, big focus in practice. Starting fast, and you got over there and you started fast.
Well, thanks for starting us off on a positive note.
Yes.
Yeah, they did. You know, the guys started fast. You know, I think defensively we only had five plays in the first quarter. I thought Drake went out there and, you know, really ran the offense, ran the script the right way, made plays, and, you know, we scored a touchdown, so that was good to see.
When your expectations for a rookie quarterback in his second game, has he exceeded those? Is he right where you thought he'd be? I mean
it's kind of, you know, it's kind of where we thought he would be. He's progressing. You know, last game he had, what, three turnovers? This game, no turnovers, and that's progress. And so we look forward to seeing that continue in the future.
Gerard, when you say after the game, because we've been talking about this and we're trying to figure it out, that your team is soft.
Playing soft.
I should have said.
And look, let me just go ahead and correct that. We're playing soft.
Okay.
Because if you look at the first, you know, going back to training camp, like, there was definitely some toughness all around the place. And we still have the same players, and we just got to play that way.
So like, when you say playing soft, is that like they're not rallying to the football? They're making mental mistakes? Like,
no.
Give me some.
What does it mean?
Yeah, context
to me,
it.
To me, I said it last night. We got to be able to run the ball. We have to stop the run and cover kicks. And we did none of those. And that's what equals a tough football team.
Would you say that the team last year played soft?
At times. You know, at times. Last year we played soft at times. There have always been games within each individual season where you feel like, you know, you played soft that game. And look, like I said, to correct what I said, it's not that we have a soft football team. We are just playing soft over the past few weeks.
When you look at the game yesterday, though, Drake May seems like he has no issue or he's not nervous about throwing the ball and getting it downfield. It seemed like there were points yesterday where that could have been helpful for you guys. And I know you're not AVP, but you talk about the script. Why is he handing off the ball so often instead of just, you know, telling him, hey, open it up, do whatever you want?
Yeah, I don't think it was so often, in my opinion. It was two drives that we're really talking about where we got, you know, kind of away from the pass game. It was 2-3 and out. So we're talking about six plays and five of those being runs. But after that, I mean, we did try to push the ball.
What do you think that you can do and the coaching staff can do to get your guys back to playing that tough mentality of football? Is it, what can you maybe do in practice differently after you're evaluating this?
Yeah, we practice hard every Wednesday. We're in full pads, and it's just about embracing the grind, embracing the suck, and just going out there and getting it done.
Your old teammate Devin McCourty said when you hear about a team that's not tough, a team that's soft, as you said, or playing soft, you think about the head coach, and you have to, you know, ask that head coach what he's doing to get these guys ready. Are you doing enough to get them ready?
Sorry. I think I am. And in saying that, look, obviously our record does not reflect that. We are what our record says we are. We're a 1-6 football team right now. you know, as far as practice and really demanding a lot from the players, we all do that from a coaching perspective. And, you know, maybe we have to do it a little bit more, but we are what our record says we are.
Do you feel like you have the right leaders in the locker room that can, if it becomes necessary for teammates to motivate teammates, do you have the right guys?
Yeah, I feel like we do. And once again, let me correct it. It's not that we have a soft football team. We're playing soft.
Would you say that the performance from Drake May we've seen in the two games was close to how he was performing in practice? Like, is this about how he's been over the course of the year?
I would say he's gotten better every single day, every single week. So,
do you look back on it at all and regret not starting him?
I don't regret any of the way we handled the quarterback situation.
There have been questions, there have been arguments on both sides of you guys going for two yesterday. What went into that decision, and do you think it was the right one still?
I do, and what I would say is a philosophical thing. Look, at some point in time, you're going to have to go for two anyway. So if you go for two in that instance, you know exactly what situation you're in going forward. Look, even saying that, we should have executed the play and got the 2 points, and we would never even be talking about this, but that was the thinking behind it.
Kendrick Bourne said that guys need to make different decisions and referenced staying up all night and eating whatever, quote. You feel like that? You feel like guys are not prepared?
Look, I'll say, no, I feel like guys are prepared. He's talking about just the when you're outside of the building, and that's part of being a professional football player. You have to take care of your body. You have to be ready to work every single day. I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about. Now, in saying that, everyone at this point in time is looking for solutions. And whether it's the media, whether it's coaches, whoever it is, everyone's looking for solutions because we are 1-6.
When it comes to looking for solutions, is it worrisome at all to you that it seems like some of them are pointing fingers in the other direction, saying the guys need to have less ego?
I don't look at it as pointing fingers. I look at it as, once again, those guys using the media as an opportunity to get the messaging across the board. Now, look, you can also say it to that man face-to-face, but that's how they feel.
What about using social media? We're all talking about Jalen Polk's Instagram story. Have you seen it? What do you think about that? Did he seem upset after that game?
I haven't seen it. And look, Jalen right now is frustrated. He's not playing at the level that he would like to play. Again, though, he has to go through the fire. Like, all right, we got to push through. We got to get through adversity before you end up being a good player. No matter what player you're talking about, they've had runs like that in their career. You talk about the greatest of all time in Tom Brady. He's had runs where it just didn't go right. This is part of the process, is going through adversity and pushing through. And this is also an opportunity for us as a team to ignore all the noise on the outside and really start to come together and put a good game together. What I will say is we got to do a better job playing complementary football. Every game that we walk out of, one phase, at least one phase, has had a good game. Now we just need the other two phases to step up their game. And every single game has been different, whether it's special teams balling out now and defense not playing well, or offense balling out, putting up points, now special teams. Like, it's complementary football that we're not playing.
Long flight back. I'm sure you looked at film. What did you see on the punt return?
Yeah, I saw a punt that – you know, look, Bryce has been a weapon for us the entire year as far as flipping the field. One thing I would say is, you know, if you punt the ball right down the middle of the field, it puts a lot of stress on everyone else, and that's what happened.
When you start to think of, like, when I complimentary football, I remember as a player, I think the one thing that I think is the most important is, forget about soft, but being mentally tough during times that are adverse. Do you look at your team and look at your coaches and saying, okay, we got to make sure that these guys understand mental toughness is going to get us to back to where we want to be when it's all three phases playing well, it's not the stupid pre-snap penalties. Like, do you feel like that's something that guys need to take more pride in, and just being mentally tough?
Look, these guys have pride, and I tell them all the time, hard work works, and that's what we have to do. We'll correct the film today. The players will be off tomorrow, and then Wednesday, you know, it's back in full pads to go out there and get better.
There's a several powerful prognosticators out there. Michael Lombardi has been very outspoken about this show, this team this year. Last week, when you said, I don't know about why the team's roster was where it was, he took it as Bill Belichick bashing, and he says that, why are the Patriots rebuilding when the Washington Commanders are 5-2? Other teams have turned around rosters quicker. This team is just making excuses.
Look, I'm not making any excuse. I think it all falls on me, and I'm okay saying that.
What you're the head coach of this football team.
Yep.
Were you comfortable, excited about the roster, you know, heading into the season? Did you think that you, as an organization, you had done everything that you could do to get this roster where it needed to be?
Look, as an organization, we're always trying to bring in good players, whether it's through free agency, through the draft, through all those things. And at the same time, you know, it takes time to do that stuff. And look, it's no shot to anyone else. Like, ultimately, me and Elliot, we're responsible for the roster and for what we put out there on the field.
When you say that after all these losses, you guys walk off the field and at least one phase of the game played pretty well, what was that yesterday? Like, who do you think played well yesterday?
I thought the offense, especially to start the game, definitely played well. I would say our pass protection at times looked a lot better than it has throughout the season. Now, in saying that, we couldn't run the ball. So it's like, all right, so now it's almost like a puzzle trying to put all this stuff together. But, again, that's what we're going through. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough to win this league, and we just have to continue to chip at the rock.
One of the things that I know it would be difficult for me, we all come from different generations of players, and how do you – I know you want these guys to have the ability to have their own voice, but how do you get them to not really use social media as an avenue for them to maybe kind of have expressed their disappointment, because then it gets fans and people on, you know, the media getting to trying to, you know, read into what they're saying. Like, how is that like for you as a player to kind of have to, or not a player, as a coach who played in an era that really didn't have that, to try to be able to balance the two of, like, all right, I get you using social media, but try to use it for something a little bit more positive. You know what I'm trying to get at?
I kind of do. Mm-hmm. What I would say is, don't put me in your generation. Like, we had social media when I was playing.
So yeah.
We definitely had social media.
All right,
media.
Well, maybe now, my generation.
Not, but in saying that, I would say, look, that's their personal platform. Now, would you like them to use it productively all the time? Apps, 100%. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you can't throw a piece, he says, a piece on eyeballs. Like, that's where the media and the fans just look into it, and everyone's trying to figure it out. And only one person knows what that actually means, so maybe you should ask him.
But it's not social media.
But it's not social media. It's really the message. I mean, the message is – the message – you can correct the record because he's your player. You talk to him. Jalen Polk does not seem happy. He's a guy who – You commented on him being mentally ready to go.
And what was the whole comment I made on that?
That he needs to.
He wasn't mentally ready to go. I do think he's going to be a good football player in this league, but right now we have not seen the final evolution of Jalen Polk.
Correct. And so when finish my question. Then he goes and says, I have the best hands in the NFL. And then he turns around after a disappointing effort. I think he probably was disappointed in himself yesterday and posts something on social media. That's appears to us to be how the player feels.
If you put that out there, that you have the best hands in the league, you have to go out there and do it. And so, again, everything will be solved with a win. So, no, seriously, okay. Like, it'll all be solved with a win. It'll all be, you know, that's how I kind of look at it.
That's how you look at it.
If you want to go out there and say, I'm the best corner in the league, I'm the best receiver, all right, you said it. Now you got to prove it every single week. I've been around players that have said that in the past and have been great players, and, you know, they say something, they got to go out there and prove it every single week. That's the beauty of the sport.
I think that some of this comes from Elliot Wolf in February saying we're going to have less of a hard-ass vibe around here. And I think some look and go, all right, that's a different approach when it comes to this organization. That's, I think, what your approach is. And they go, all right, is Jerod Mayo – too much of a friend and not enough of a boss?
It's not about being a friend. For me, I'm the head coach of the team, and I understood that. That was one of the, when I got into coaching in 19, I learned that, where I played with a guy in Dante Hightower and then had to coach him. I played with a guy in Jamie Collins and had to coach him. And there was a day, you know, it was like an instant where you're like, man, I'm the linebacker coach. I'm not your friend.
Right.
It's the exact same thing right now. I'm the head coach of the football team, and my job is to get these guys better and develop them to go out there and win games. Like, that's what it comes down to. And I understand that. It's not about being hard. It's not about being soft. Like, that's not what it's about. It's about going out there, hitting the targets, playing with good fundamentals, and playing good football. And everyone else, they can read into whatever they want to read into. We need to win football games. Not only now, we need to build for the future as well. And That's the main objective.
I know you don't want to control what your guys are saying, but when it's week after week and you have, you know, you're not playing with pride, people have to check their egos, some of the defense, you know, seems like they're only playing for themselves, selfish play. Does it get to a point where you say to these guys, hey, if you guys keep putting this out there, this is all the media is going to be talking about? Do you have those conversations with them? Because when you're losing games over and over again, it creates a scene which may not be true, but it gives us a look into the locker room that doesn't look great.
Yeah, I've had those conversations with a couple of the players where, you know, they say that's not what I meant. And I've said things in, you know, in pressers where it's not what I meant. Like, going back to even yesterday that we have a soft team. No, we're playing soft. And so, you know, I'm not going to try to control their lives or anything like that. Those guys know if you put something out there, you're responsible for it, and it's out there. It's out there forever.
But I think the Jalen Polk thing is about accountability from my perspective, where if you stink or you're good, then it's okay as long as you have a mirror you're looking into and you're knowing that you can get better or you're doing your job. And Jalen Polk on the field, he's a rookie. You know, it's early, hasn't been doing his job, and all I hear from him on social media or in the press is everybody else's talk is talked about except his own failings on the field. And I don't know how you get better if you don't accept there's a problem in the first place.
I think he does accept that there is a problem. He's putting in the extra work before practice, after practice. It just, at some point in time, it hits an inflection point where something clicks and he becomes a good player. What I will say is I hope the team, us sitting here at 1-6, they see me, I'm doing all these interviews. It's who I am. It's what I do. And being able to deal with adversity, I mean, it's hard to lead, you know, at 1-6. It's easy at 6-1. And for me, like, it's in my fabric, it's in my DNA to keep pushing forward. And I think the guys hopefully see this. I'm not sure if they tune into this show, but maybe they do.
They should.
For Wiggy.
Do you think Jalen Polk is maybe putting too much pressure on himself? I know as a former receiver who, you know, sometimes if you get in the zone where you're putting all this pressure, especially when it comes to catching the football, you kind of might get in the zone of where you have the dropsies. Do you think he might be putting too much pressure on himself to want to be perfect, which could potentially be then leading to some of the drops?
Putting pressure on yourself is how we got here. Mm-hmm. Even you as a player, putting pressure on yourself is how you got to the league. Right. And look, again, everyone has to deal with pressure in their own way. And look, it's going to turn. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give you a date or a time or a year of when it's going to turn for him. But again, he'll be a very good player in this league.
All right, time for the Hellman's Mayo question of the week for Gerard Mayo. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. From a texter, they want to know, and you may not have an opinion either way, prefer London or Germany when it comes to playing overseas?
Yeah. That's a tough one. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. and food
again,
wasn't better.
Again, the attitude is anytime, any place, anywhere. So, I don't know, ask me when we go to Brazil or something.
Well, the surface looked good. The grass looked good out there, at least.
Slick.
You know,
it was slippery, huh?
You said it looked good. You say it looks slick. I mean, this right here is a microcosm of all the stories.
Well, you tell us how was it?
No. You
well,
have your opinion.
I mean, I played at Rivers
you guys
High School.
Have
so
your opinions
seven
on the,
studs.
But just
I would
see
say.
That. See yeah. that. Yeah. Everyone had on seven
yeah.
studs.
Everybody's right. an expert until they have to do it.
That's right. Right? That's right.
Yeah. So, all right, Gerard Mayo. Well, thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. That is Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots on a Mayo Monday. We will be right back. Oh, and by the way, Conversation with the Coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gerard Mayo finished that answer with, "That's on me."
Yeah.
But make no mistake. I mean, that is putting it all on your players.
Oh, yeah.
Like, from where I'm sitting, even when we have the right call, they're still not getting it done. That's on me.
Yeah, so if you have the right call, that's the coaching aspect of it. Everything else out there, the plays need to be done by the players, and they're not doing it. So that's on them. Yeah, it's all fun and games, and it's great to be the like the player's coach. But then when you are losing the way that you are, then you start pointing fingers. Now the fun-loving coach isn't that fun.
No.
And now players are going to start to question some of the things that the coach is saying.
Keith, they're a joke.
They are
a joke. You have players getting in trouble off the field. You have players screwing up on the field. You have finger pointing after the game in the locker room. You have the coach calling the players out. The players clapping back at the coaches. Like they're a joke. And never mind, they're losing to what we thought was the worst team in football. But it turns out the Patriots are actually the worst team in football. So the way that all plays out, it doesn't speak well to Jerod Mayo's job security. And we can get into it here. How long you think his leash is? 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Monday. Like some pretty pointed questions on Greg's show today.
Yeah,
why aren't you getting more out of the team? Why do you think you're not getting more out of the team? You know, is he the right guy for the job? You've said before, you think Mayo gets, is it 2 or 3 years?
3.
Are you still there?
I don't know. I'm shooketh on that too. So I said 3 right off the rip because I go back to the Thunder Buddies press conference.
Yeah.
I think and if Kraft is going to say to everybody that, you know, picking Jerod Mayo was like picking his wives and like picking Belichick and like he trusts his instincts and he wanted Mayo 5 years ago, you can't. On the one hand, want Mayo 5 years ago, couldn't wait for him to get the job, spoke so highly of him, and then after one bad season, be like, you're done. What does that say about your gut? What does that say about your instincts?
Well,
what does that say?
So I agree with you on all that. But
unless,
yeah.
4 years ago, he hired somebody to replace Mayo, unbeknownst to Mayo. Maybe we'll find that out.
That's a good point.
He's like, guys, I had Mayo, but I also had this guy ready to go.
I actually like him more.
I actually like this guy even more, but he wasn't ready.
You pointed this out. It's like every Israel trip now, Mayo just has to be like, who are you taking there? Who's got? What?
Jerod, why don't you stay back? we don't need you for this one.
You don't need to come to Israel anymore.
So I still say 3.
You don't even want it down at the 2.
I don't. I'm going to say 3 because I think this is what's going to happen. I think Robert Kraft is going to wait till the end of this season, and if it is the way it's going, 1-15, 1-16, then Alex Van Pelt, front of the show, he's gone. If they suck again next year, Elliot Wolf's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they suck for 3 straight years, then Jerod Mayo's gone. I think Jerod Mayo gets 3 years because I think Robert Kraft certainly, I mean, he had one coach for, 3 years with Pete Carroll,
yep.
And then one for 20 years. And that was important to him, too. Remember he said that where he's like, I've only hired 2 coaches since I've been here.
Yeah.
Or three coaches.
But it was easy. They were winning all the time, and it was easy.
Right. And one of them was for 20 years. Like, that's the sort of the outlier.
Right.
The first one was only for 3.
Right.
That's sort of more the norm. That's how long, like, it was Matt Patricia 3 years in Detroit. Like, bad coaches last 3 years. And
I think
he gets 3, but I'm not nearly as confident. Like, it's I'm not shocked that they're 1-6 necessarily. It is so much worse than I thought, though. I thought the defense was
the record might be what you thought after 7 weeks, but it's just they're non-competitive and they're a mess.
Yes. Yeah, because I thought I took the under on 4.5, but like we said, all the losses and even the wins can look a little different. You can go out there and play a hard-fought, lose 23-20 overtime game to Seattle, or you can have multiple non-competitive games. They all count the same in the standings, but the fact that the defense, and he's a defensive guy, and he's got some of the defensive staff back from last year, and some of the players, I know some of the guys are hurt, and that they're not even a middle-of-the-pack defense right now, they're so much worse than that, that you got to kind of pin on Mayo. And so this is an ugly, ugly 1-6.
No, it is. And here's the scenario. My retort would be, right, well, how can you say you like this guy, and it's comparing it to your wife, and you went on your gut, and a year later change your mind? Well, if the pitchforks start coming for Kraft instead of May, like if Kraft is the one that's under fire, and you know he said yesterday in London, or was it Saturday night, maybe in London, leading up to the game on Sunday, yeah, we're building something special, and winning is so important. And when the pressure turns to him, all right, fine, it's not ideal that I went with my gut and I said all these things about this coach, but it's more ideal to get my organization back than have people coming for me like I'm John Henry. Because I don't think he's far away from that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And if that's the kind of fire he's under, I could see Mayo losing his job if they don't turn this around. And I Something tells me they're not turning it around.
But then it's also going to be one of those things, and this is a conversation for later, but how desirable the job is. And I know it's one of 32.
Good point.
But if they look from the outside and be like, all right, so you fired Bill Belichick, and then you gave another guy 1 year?
True.
What am I doing? Like, I better... And then,
do you think a lot of people want to coach Drake May, though?
Maybe, but then they're going to say, are you going to pay me? And then do you think Robert Kraft's going to pay the next coach?
No, that's true.
No. So like, I don't get paid much, okay, and I have no job security. Yeah. Like, okay, that's not exactly a desirable position.
It's fair. The leash is getting shorter. How long it is, we can debate, but it's gotten shorter from week one. Mark is in Medford. Get us started today, Mark.
Good morning, guys. I just want to say, yes, the Patriots are soft. They don't play soft. They are soft. This Patriots team does suck, and so does the coach. And I have a message for the Kraft.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Sure.
When you go woke, you go broke and become a joke.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
That is horrible.
I don't know.
Is that a real thing to say?
Yeah. It was a good, you didn't like
I
the
know
snappy,
it rhymes,
you didn't like the snappy little rhyme there, Keith?
Give me a break. That was horrible. Just you should have just led with your good stuff and left it there.
It did take a bit of a nosedive there at the end.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't think their wokeness is the issue here. I think Mayo's just, look, I didn't want Bill back. And here's where I was wrong. I thought they'd get better by default without Bill and without Mac Jones. I believed that.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Like that, just anybody in there instead of Bill, wrong. I did not like the Mayo hire. I never defended the Mayo hire.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hire anyone Bill had ever met. And that might have been your stance as well, right?
100%.
And you said that and I glommed on board with that.
Yep.
Because anybody Bill ever even met, I didn't want here.
None of those guys
but
have been good head coaches.
I still thought it would be addition by subtraction by getting rid of Bill. And it turns out you couldn't just plug in anyone. Gerard Mayo, not the guy. It certainly feels
But I also think you sort of set up Gerard Mayo to fail.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, I do think when you go woke, you go broke, and you turn into a joke. I did think...
About egg yolk. So that's an insane call. But I think if you had put Gerard Mayo with a really good offensive coordinator...
Yeah.
If you had given him Cliff Kingsbury, I know I harp on him, but I liked him because he had head coaching experience. He's not a great head coach, but he at least had that experience in the league. And he's worked with so many young quarterbacks, and he's been a good offensive mind. If Gerard Mayo was the head coach, and you had a real guy that you could just turn over the offense to, maybe Gerard Mayo doesn't look as shaky as he does now.
Right.
And also, like, promoting Covington to defense, like, was that really necessarily the right call, too?
No.
Probably
God,
not.
God, no.
Probably not.
God, I mean.
So, like, you're setting him up. You're
friend
like,
of the show. But
great
God,
guy.
But love God, no. Yeah, yeah, just don't want to go to the defense.
Interview.
Yeah.
No, but, like, Mayo doesn't have... Like, so Sean McVay,
he
is a genius wunderkind or whatever from offense. Mm-hmm. But even his first year.
Gave him Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips.
Perfect.
NFL head coach, maybe not a great head coach, but he was a great defensive guy. So McVay could focus on his one side of the ball, let Wade Phillips do that. So they did that for a couple of years. Then they moved on. And since then, like, they've just had a great coaching tree and they've been churning guys out.
Mm-hmm.
But that was important to him then. Look at right now, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. Brian Flores is his defensive coordinator, and they're kicking ass. I know they lost yesterday, but like that's a good setup. This was not a good setup from Jump Street.
No. A defensive coach running the whole show, which is a bad place to start. A guy who hasn't called plays in 15 years outside of a couple of games when the head coach got sick.
He called plays like Trent Edwards and the Bills or whatever it
was. And then they internally promoted on defense and, added no talent except for the number 3 draft pick. Not a great setup.
They didn't play until week 6.
Yeah, and he looks totally not ready, right? Drake, we're going to get more into Drake May.
Yeah.
But he looks so not ready.
No.
Mason is in Portland. Go ahead, Mason.
Hey guys, so you guys are tripping about like going for two. I think that's the least of their problems.
True. I don't disagree. Yeah. It still bothered me like crazy yesterday, but it is the least of their problems. You're not wrong, Mason.
That is the least of their problems.
Poor coaching is
Jacoby
an issue.
Brissett,
yeah.
You know, Jacoby, great captain. So it's fantastic. That does not mean he should have been on the field at any point. In the offensive line, when it comes to the passing game, actually isn't the worst. It's actually the running game that's taken the hit more than anything else. And Covington, I don't think Covington's an issue either. I think we took on an offensive coordinator that no one else wanted.
Yeah, I don't know how many people would want DeMarcus Covington. His call screen said Jalen Polk.
Oh, yeah, Polk. Well, I mean, that's sort of the thing is they have so many issues.
You might
call in thinking of one, then like five more pop in
like,
your head.
Oh,
you're like, let's talk about all these.
They do have so many problems.
No, but the defense sucks right now, and so I think Mayo's getting a blame, but the defensive coordinator can't be blameless in all of this.
No.
The offensive coordinator clearly is not the most, creative play caller. He hasn't been handed a ton, obviously. But there is something with the offensive line. They may have finally figured out a combination that is like decent enough. Not they're not good, but like decent enough.
I still don't even think they have anything on the offensive line. I just think a talented mobile quarterback can mask some of the issues they were having early in the year.
That's
true. That's more what I think it is, but maybe they've stumbled on something with the O-line. Mike Onwenu looks good. Let me tell you, that guy worth every penny.
Oh, my God.
Another
friend. Trayvon Walker just kind of just pushed him right into May on that one.
Another friend of the show.
Yep.
617-779-7937. Whole bunch of you waiting to jump in line. We will get to you. And I thought Mason was going to get to Jalen Polk. Let's get to that Patriots wide receiver room. What is wrong with them? Besides the lack of talent and the inflated ego and the big mouths, what's wrong with that wide receiver room? Let's get to it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Drake, obviously another tough loss here. It seems like as you guys continue on through the season here, you're finally getting your start to go out and play. You've played well. You've put up some good numbers. Does it feel like you're progressing in a way that you're comfortable with right now from these first two games, 1-2 here?
Yeah, I think any time for a young quarterback getting out there, each and every week and continuing throughout the weeks and looking at the film, looking at last week's film from Houston, so I did some things better, and also there's still a lot to prove on. So the big thing is we need to get some wins in the win column. That's what we're all striving for. So we need to play complimentary football. That's what Coach Mayo's been preaching. And I think throughout, like I said, as the weeks continue to come on, pass by, I feel like I'm gonna start seeing some things better and feeling some different things out and protection, whether it's protection-wise or coverage-wise or even just leadership-wise. As the season goes on, I'm gonna do a better job of growing in that aspect.
You've been consistent talking about the need for a win before you even played. I think that first week you talked about we're a 1-4 team. We need a win. We need a win. Do you have to be careful to not put too much stock in that when you guys are in a losing streak? Like, can that be a negative where maybe there's are some improvements coming and it's not necessarily leading to victory? Is there a balance there, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there is a balance. Coach, AVP, preaching, the offensive meeting today, there's things we're continuing to get better at. You can see it on film and there's also things that, just can't have happen. We gotta be able to run the football. And it goes back to what Coach Mayo said. We gotta, stop the run the football and be good, covering kicks. That's what, you heard, Jonathan just say that. That's kind of the staple of, what's been successful here with the Patriots. And I think kind of once we lose that is, when we kind of get off track. So just find that and find the those staples of playing football, in the NFL and those things. And I think, once those things come, I think we can find ourselves, back in the win column.
The run game has obviously taken a bit of a step back, and I don't think it's because you started playing quarterback, but for whatever reason, that's something that's happened in your first two starts. Do you feel sort of added pressure to go out and throw maybe more than you were expecting to with the run game not really connecting the way you were hoping it would? I mean, Coach always talks about how that's the identity of the offense. You guys are a run-first team. Yeah. It hasn't really been for your two starts.
Yeah, I think that's something that, we're preaching in there in the offensive meeting room of, getting the run game going. Any NFL team wants to get the run game going. So, I have full confidence goes guys, coming out here next week, and I think we need to adjust on maybe some different runs. And, AVP spoke on that, to set our guys up for the, best successful. But we got some good backs that can make some guys miss and, can pick up some good yardage. So, credit to those guys up front. They're blocking their butts off, and pass pro with us was awesome this past weekend, and I think those guys are battling. They're playing different spots, and guys are getting injured and coming in and playing different spots that they hadn't practiced. So they're put in a tough spot, and I think they're responding well.
One of the talking points last week was get off to a faster start. You guys were able to do that. It seemed like the passing game was a big part of that. You were kind of dropping back early, and then so two part question: how good was that to feel to get off to the fast start after you practiced it? But then it kind of got away from you. Did play calling take you out of your rhythm? I know you guys started running the ball a little bit more without a ton of success. Did that maybe adversely affect the momentum of the offense?
No, I think I think I was proud of those guys for how we started. I think I made one missed throw there, makes it 14-0. I think that's a big difference in the ball game. Missed KB and had a chance on that one. But I think second quarter, I think it just went down to execution. We didn't execute. I think we had made one first down on a ball over the hoop across the middle, on a little shallow cross concept. So, other than that, I think we got to find ways to move the chains. I think we can't find ourselves in third and long. I think we had ourselves in a couple third and longs that, and we had a false start. So I got to do a better job communicating, and it really falls back on me. I think, second quarter wasn't really play calling. I think it was just execution from our guys, and I think we kind of got not high on our horses there from the start, but I think we need to can sustain that and continue it throughout the ball game.
Now, this isn't something we know because we're not down there on the field with a headset on or anything, but how much freedom or liberty would you say you have when you get out there and take a look at the defense and what you have to change the play or to audible into something else or maybe go in a different direction if you see something that you like? Is that something you feel like you have freedom to do at this point?
Yeah, I think, something that, I think it comes with the offense, knowing the ins and outs and, playing out there and seeing different things. Hey, this scenario comes up again. I maybe want to do this. I think it comes of with playing throughout the weeks. And I wouldn't say I'm weak. My third start, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily changing complete plays out there. But I think AVP does a nice job of giving me some freedom to change some things, hop the back, change protection, little things like that. That can go a long way.
Are you a leader on this football team?
I think starting to become more of a leader. I think that's a big thing as a quarterback. Need to lead these guys. I think I need to say more. I need to be more positive on the sideline and pump people up and fly around. And, AVP always preaches, pick people up once they're on the ground or getting tackled. And I think I need to show some of that for myself, not that, just the quarterback standing in the back. So I think it comes, as the season goes on. I'm not trying to come in there and be the rah-rah guy, right, when I, get the nod, as a starter. But I think it comes with, playing football and making plays.
Does a leader also have to be willing to call guys out or sort of get them back in line if they get out of line? We were talking early in my tenure here covering this team, Willie McGinnis and Rodney Harrison, and there were some of those guys that weren't afraid to kick guys in the butt if they needed it. Do you feel like sometimes a leader isn't just building guys up but also getting them back in line?
No doubt. I think that that definitely plays a part. I think you kind of treat guys differently based on their relationship with them and kind of their personality. Think of those guys up front, just keep pumping them up. They're fighting their butts off all game and oftentimes don't get the credit that they deserve. So maybe those guys up front pump them up, or maybe a guy like Hunter that I'm starting to build a relationship with, I can kind of get on them. Hey, Hunt, I need you there. Or Hoop, those tight end guys that I feel like we build a nice connection with, like maybe get on those guys a little more than maybe the offensive line or some of the receivers.
You mentioned the tight ends. For receivers, it seems like a lot of those guys are frustrated right now. In the games before you started playing, you could see it sort of on the field, guys being demonstrative with what Jalen Polk's been putting on Instagram and KJ Osborne and some of these other things that you're just seeing with guys. Do you feel like that's something you can positively affect, these frustrated guys here who feel like they're either not getting the ball enough or not playing enough or whatever? Is that something you feel like you can have an effect on?
Yeah, 100%. As a quarterback of the football team, I think my job is honing those guys in, keeping them in line and also giving them chances on the field. I think it comes with that. I think those guys are good players and they just want to make plays and you want the football in their hands, so you can't get mad at them for that part. I just think those guys, as the season rolls on and these weeks come by, I think they're going to get more and more opportunities, and I'm looking forward to seeing them make some plays.
One of the things we've talked a lot about with Jerod Mayo taking over this year is culture, and just he's installing his culture, and it's different than what was here in the past, and what kind of culture is that? Young team, different things. In a short period of time, what is the culture of this team all about, do you think?
Yeah, Coach Mayo always preaches, hard work works, and working hard and dropping your ego at the door, and I think these guys are, we're learning that. I think there's been some times where guys are having to figure that out. We got a really young team, so the guys are starting to figure that out and buy into the process. And we always preach process and payoff and also there's some things that come along, and we've had some bumps in the road, but I think these guys are starting to figure it out. And I think he's starting to challenge us. Really, what is the identity of this football team? What do we want to be this year? As the season goes on. So he said today in the meeting, we're 1-6 football team. We are what we put out there. So I think we have some guys that are going to make some shifts in the way they approach things and hopefully get back on track.
There is a lot of debate over the two-point conversion. If you could go back and do it again, do you think it would have been better to kick there, or would you have gone for two again? 8 minutes left and all that time still to go in the fourth.
Yeah. I think we're a slip away from making it a 7-point game. So it's tough to say from after. It's like the guy in film saying, hey, you should have thrown this guy holding the clicker last. It's one of those things. But, I think there's two ways to look at it. Hey, if we get it there, then, we make it, 7-point game. The defense is riled up. And, hey, if we don't get it, then we know, how much we're down and what the defense needs to do and then make it a two-possession game. So,
not to give you an excuse, but it looked like Pop Douglas was sort of primed to be a big part of the game plan early, and then he was dealing, you went to him a couple times early, then motioning different things, formationing. Then he was sick. How much did that affect sort of the evolution of the game with him having to go out?
Yeah, anytime Pop's out there, he helps us. You know, he's a great player, and he makes a lot of plays. Made a, you know, the first third down of the game, made a nice catch, and was getting involved in two of the first three plays. So yep, he's a good ball player for us, and it's a bummer not having him out there, but I'm sure he'll be back and ready to go this week.
Have you built a rapport with him? It seems like, even in training camp, it seemed like, whether it was Jacoby or you, it was like, well, the rubber's meeting the road here. Where's Pop? I might want to go to Pop here. He gets open. Is he that kind of guy that we've seen? We've seen for years at that position.
No doubt. Yeah, a guy, like I said, has seen for years in this Patriot, you know, in Patriot uniform. He's a slot that get open, and you can trust him, and he's tough to guard, and especially in man coverage. You know, that first third down, he's tough to run with. He's fast. He's quick, and you know, a guy like that through in college is Josh Downs, and they remind themselves of each other. So it's easy for me to find Pop, and just still building that, you know, relationship. Missed him across the middle last week, you know, against the Texans. So I'm still building some things.
You mentioned after the game sort of the frustration in the second half in particular of being on the sideline while Jacksonville kind of controlled the time of possession. You had, statistically, you were one of the top three quarterbacks who played this week. I mean, really, just by the stats. You were right up there with Allen and Hurts and sort of everybody else. How frustrating is it being on the sideline knowing you've got it going and you're, you know, making plays and scoring points and you just can't get the ball? What's that sort of feel like?
Yeah, I think it's easy to, you know, pass blame around. I think it comes back to us staying on the field. You know, we had a chance in there in that third quarter, got the ball back like 10 minutes left, and didn't put a drive together to keep us on the field. So that falls back on us, and you know, it's easy to, you know, pass blame around, point the finger, but you know, really, when you have opportunities and you don't make the most of them, I think it comes back on, you know, staying on the field, picking up first downs, helping defense out. We helped them out in the first quarter, and they were playing well. So I think it does, you know, doesn't do the job when we're not staying on the field. And I think the Jaguars, you know, had a nice game plan of, you know, running the football and scheme some stuff up.
I saw you nodding when Jonathan Jones was giving a little scouting report of what he's seen from you. He talked about sort of staying even keel, not too high, not too low. Is that scouting report what you're trying to accomplish? Is that what you're trying to put out as you kind of establish yourself as the quarterback?
I think so. I think you have to. Yeah, stay, you know, even keel throughout, you know, the tough moments and even throughout the bright spot moments. I think I need to do a better job of, you know, get excited when we do something good and show those guys that I can get fired up. And like you said, many to add in there. And, you know, if you, you know, get on some guys and, you know, put some fire in their butts to, you know, get it going. And
couple F bombs.
Yeah,
you just swear.
Yeah,
F bombs.
Yeah, hey, out the field, you know, some stuff to say that you don't repeat. But I think some of that may need to come along as the season goes on the road. I think I may need to add that.
All right, the quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. The question this week comes to us from Jay in Lincoln, and he says, Drake, which quarterback do you get compared to the most?
Which quarterback do I get compared to the most? I think my frame, either Josh or Herbert, you know, probably those two. But I think those two are great players that are, you know, winning some football games. So hopefully, need to follow them up in that side of that category. But other than that, probably those two guys, and those guys are great football players. So I got a long way to go before I'm at their point.
Do you see it? Because I was listening to Josh McDaniels, and he was talking about you, and one of the things he said was he wasn't sure where your evolution would take you—more of a pocket passer or a Josh Allen who really likes to run and really likes to prove he can do things with his feet. Do you see one more than the other? Do you see your future in a certain mold more than the other, pocket passer versus, yeah, I'm going to run a bit?
Yeah, I think going, you know, preserve and try to play as long as I can and take care of my body. So try to get those guys that are better runners than me the football. That's the plan. But at the same time, you know, not lose sight of the fact that I can go make some plays. So, you know, really just going to try to, you know, try to stay in the best shape I can to make some guys miss and pick up some first downs. But at the same time, try to focus on, you know, getting those guys to rock.
All right, Drake May, thanks so much for the time. Great to talk with you. Good luck against the Jets this weekend.
Sweet. Thank you.
All right, that's Drake May, quarterback of the Patriots, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll take a quick break. Jerrell Braverman will get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, we'll reset on a couple of topics here and digest what we just heard from both quarterback Drake May and defensive back Jonathan Jones. Both had a lot to say on a tumultuous Patriots Monday here at Gillette.
Hi, Tuesday on the Greg Hill Show, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of Pro Football Hall of Famer Ty Law, by 110 Grill. Gluten-free dining done right, and Ty Law is with us this morning here in the studio. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on?
How you doing?
I could be doing better. I'm just, like, disappointed that, because I had an opportunity to go to London, right? You know, I said, I'm going to pass on that. I'm so glad I did. You're going to go all the way over there to London to get your ass whipped like that?
They was going to pay for you to go over there?
Man, I had a little something set up with you. I had a little but guess what? It wasn't worth the trip.
I hear that.
And actually, the numbers weren't exactly right, so I was like, no.
We know you don't
get out of bed.
I've heard it a million times.
No,
I don't get out of bed for less than $25,000.
That is exactly all day.
You deserve it.
No, I say what my appearance fee is. I've told you like that's what it is. But he don't get it. That's his line. I don't get out of bed unless I get this. And I was like, I gotta steal that one, Greg.
Yeah,
that's not true. Yeah. I oftentimes work for the donut. And happy to do it.
Well, that's literal.
Me too.
Happy to do it. And for me, it's the actual donut.
Right. I have a question, Greg. Just top of your mind right now.
Yes.
One donut you have to have it, like the number one donut to eat, in your opinion, is what flavor?
Oh, flavor.
Like what kind of donut?
I thought you were going to say the
place. Oh, Cane's is for me, but what flavor?
I like the chocolate glaze.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Great choice.
Interesting.
Excellent job, Greg.
I thought he was going to play the politics and say Boston cream.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. No, I hate Boston cream.
We just call it cream here.
Oh, okay. I like the regular glaze, too, though. The regular glaze is
from Krispy Kreme.
Oh, the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that's a regular glaze. But, on. I mean, everybody, all the other ones, you know, they ain't hitting on it like
I was at my kids' games at UMass, and there was this, they said there's this place, Curtis, you're going to love this, a donut place in Brooklyn, and they brought these donuts down. They might have been the best donuts I ever.
With the crow nuts?
No, it was just like a regular glaze. And whatever the dough is they used, it was so...
It's probably a cronut.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the name of the place in Brooklyn?
Well, no.
Yeah, I think it was cronuts he was talking about.
We're all going to get a text from Fitzy in 2 seconds.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so good. Somebody help me. It's also a place in Brooklyn.
During this season, though, it's the apple cider cinnamon sugar donuts.
A-plus
like those from any type
so
of...
So bougie.
What?
Bougie?
A lot going on there.
Too much. Some people, the cronut is like a croissant and a donut.
Yes, okay. If they had a baby.
Yes. Ken Laird prefers the no nuts. I don't know if you, do you Curtis, did you know that?
Well, it hurts to laugh. Right. God dang it.
All right. You said it. It was a disaster.
Yes.
Disaster on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to start with you, like, because you were on this side of the football. What happened to this defense?
Man, y'all say he tried to backtrack, but that's the thing that came to mind. Soft.
Mm-hmm.
Soft. That kind of soft.
S-O-F-T soft.
Yeah, man, that is absolutely ridiculous. And the Patriots right now, they got the biggest linebackers and DBs I've ever seen in the league. You know why? Because the linemen back there playing with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get blown out like that and you always back in the secondary, mm-hmm. something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think I don't know if it's the weight room. I don't know if it's a mental check. I said tackle drills, like we bringing up Oklahoma, we jokingly, but that team in the front is just playing out soft. And we had little nicknames for it. Remember what we call Antoine Harris?
What we call?
Puddins. You know, even though it was Pepper Johnson calling, he was on goal line, and he ran up in there and it just didn't look right.
So his
nickname,
soft like pudding.
Yeah, his nickname was Puddins. And to this day, we call him Puddins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's their whole team. Pudding, Jello. You know what I mean?
Do you wish he didn't walk it back?
Huh?
Do you wish he didn't walk it back?
You know what? He got, because he don't want to lose his team, and I guess you got to know the attitude of your team, but hell, he can push you back, and I'm going to bring it right. I'm going to push him right back over there, because you was right. Your team is soft right now, so it's up to you as a coach to do something
on
about
him.
It. Huh?
That's on, if they're soft, they're not tough, as Devin McCourty said. That's on Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, he got to take some accountability for it. You know, Mayo is my guy, but yes, we got to come on here and speak facts and speak truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think he would do the same thing. But you have to handle that in that locker room. What do you do? Do you get more guys in? Let's understand that we talk about the rookie quarterback. It's also a rookie head coach. You know what I mean? So you have to give him time to get his guys in there. But right now, I don't know if you inherited a team this soft. You know, because I didn't see that. You wasn't that soft last year. You wasn't winning.
Right.
But you wasn't that damn soft.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we have to say that's a reflection of you right now.
See, I asked him, because when he said soft, I'm like, so a guy's turning down tackling. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Like you see a guy was like, all right, I'm not going to go stick my nose in there? Or is it just that, like, because I don't believe, like, Jelani Tavai is, like, soft in the sense where he's going to turn down a tackle? Or are you just saying it, you're playing with no mental toughness? Explain it to me.
No passion, no mental toughness. You're not trying to do anything to spark the team. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sitting there looking at guys. You're right. They're waiting on tackles instead of attacking it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not attacking, which that's what in football, you're supposed to be the aggressor. It's an aggressive game. And so if you're not being aggressive, what are you out there for? You need to get somebody else that is willing to at least go give it a shot and try. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you get caught up into, oh, well, you know what? We paying this guy.
That's fine.
All right.
$100. You know,
exactly. But it ticks me off that you see somebody out there playing that style of football, knowing the tradition that has been in New England as far as the defensive players, at least, you know, you bending but not breaking, mm-hmm. and playing with some passion.
I have a quick question on this, though. All say that Jerod Mayo is a player's coach, right? That's what you say, Greg? Like, he's the guy that does it.
Yeah.
So then why are we giving him a hard time for calling out the players then? If we're giving him a hard time for being too coddly to these guys, why is it bad if he calls them out?
Oh, I thought it was great that
I thought it was
them.
Great.
Yeah.
A player's coach, you're supposed to call them out. Because the one thing that Jerod has that not many other coaches have is credibility of being a player.
Mm. You know? But Curtis, in addition to calling them out, I don't know that he realizes that he is calling himself out at the same time.
Well, yesterday he said it all starts with me.
Yeah, I think he always kind of says that,
but he also points fingers. He points fingers at the roster. He points fingers at, you know.
That was after my needling.
So, you had an apology?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to apologize to the fans and the listeners of the show and to you guys for thinking that they going to go 500.
Oh, it's okay.
So I want to apologize to everybody out there. If you placed a bet with me and went on DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever you did, hey, I apologize to everybody sincerely because, damn it, they ain't going 500.
Yeah.
Are they going to win another one? are they going to win? Wiggy and I were talking about the schedule after the show yesterday.
Yeah, I said that they are everybody's get-right team. So when you play against the Patriots,
you can't
beat the Jaguars.
You the get right team.
Yeah, exactly. You the homecoming team in college.
Yes.
You the homecoming. You know, that's the everybody mark. Oh, we gonna win this one.
Right.
Bring in the band. Bring in your family.
You're like BC at Virginia Tech.
Hey.
Oh, too soon.
We've hit a low of the season, but we will be back.
All due respect, or you're like Michigan and Illinois.
Man, you wrong for that one right there. You wrong. But you know what? Michigan, they stinking up the joint, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
that
they need a quarterback, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They got that.
No, I'm serious, but you know what? Though.
We got a quarterback.
Who do you see them beating on the
schedule? Oh, I'm looking at it right now. I don't see any wins.
Well, that's why I said when I call them the get-right, teams are looking at them on the schedule and going, whoo,
yep.
I'm glad we get to play New England because that can maybe give us a little, you know, get us back on track a little. That's who they are.
Yeah. You always see certain people or like quarterbacks or receivers like, oh, well, I'm giving me some stats this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know what it is. So that is exactly what New England is right now. No one fears them whatsoever. But I will say a positive note. We got us a quarterback.
Yep.
And we got us a quarterback.
Yep.
Drake May, I like what he's doing. You got to get a man some help. You know what I mean? He got to sit and watch a little bit. So we got a quarterback. Now it's going to be up to Jerod Mayo, Mr. Kraft, and the Kraft family to sit down and say, okay, how much is we going to open up the Brinks truck? You know what I mean? How much money we going to dump into this thing? You know what I mean? And bring in some players.
Right.
You get that boy some help. I see some good things in him, man. So I just want to give him his flyers right now. I will take them. I will take him back next week.
Yeah,
I'll take him back if necessary. But he deserves his flyers, man.
All right, it's a Tie Tuesday. That means Ty Law is here. We'll talk more about the New England Patriots and the rest of the league with Ty Law coming up next.
You're starting to hear this, Keith.
Yikes.
How's Mike Florio on PFT Live?
Uh-huh.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We've been talking about this on and off. We were talking about it on Monday. Like, are we sure at this rate Jerod Mayo is back next year? And Florio says there, and he wrote this yesterday. He does his power rankings every Tuesday. He said at this rate, Gerard Mayo could talk his way right out of a job. And he said it there on PFT Live. This has been echoed as well by Greg Bedard, who doesn't think Mayo is quote-unquote assured of a second season. So could he talk his way out of a job? Is he going to give Robert Kraft no choice? This is one thing you now see in the NFL. Coaches don't always come back for year number two. It used to be you sign a new coach, they're good for two or 3 years.
Oh, just ask Carolina. They never keep a coach for 2 years.
Thank you. Like, you don't. Steve Wilkes didn't get a second year. Frank Reich didn't get a second year. Urban Meyer didn't survive year one. Like, you see that a lot.
And what a group he could join.
I mean,
Urban Meyer, Steve Wilkes,
is
Frank Reich.
Mayo closer to that or closer to the good coaches?
He is closer to that,
yeah,
for sure. Now, I don't think those coaches that we named had half the relationship with the owner that Gerard Mayo has. That's why I still think Gerard Mayo is safe for a second season. Now, you could also argue through 7 weeks, could it be any worse? Like, short of being 0-7, that'd be the one obvious, like, oh, it'd be worse. Could it really be much worse? You've gotten blown out of most of these games. The owner loves the international game, mm-hmm, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You lost to a very bad team, one of the worst teams in the league, in front of everybody out in England. You've lost like 6 straight games. The one silver lining is your rookie quarterback finally started and looks decent for 2 games. That's like the one thing you can kind of hold up. How much credit does Mayo get for that? I don't think much.
No.
But like you do have that. So I think there's enough standing in the way, shields, if you will, that'll keep Gerard Mayo back. The biggest thing is I don't think Robert Kraft wants to admit he was wrong. His gut was wrong 5 years ago. He picked this guy, loves this guy, blah, 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 Thunder Buddy. I don't think he's going to let go of the Thunder Buddy after 1 year. He's also in a spot where Robert Kraft is. The year's up. They're 1-win, 2-win, 3-win team. Fire Van Pelt. See, guys, we made a move. We got a new offensive coordinator. And if you really want to get nuts, you could fire Elliot Wolf. I don't think he would do that after 1 year on the job. But I think you're more likely to get rid of him and AVP, hell, maybe even Covington, than you would Mayo. That's
right.
My
guess. Could they blow all those guys out before Gerard Mayo?
Yes,
sure,
because
possibly.
Because like, Belichick lost the job last year, part because they were 4-13, but even more so because he drafted all these clowns in the first and second round,
yeah,
and guys that aren't even on the team. Like, I think he was more blamed, certainly publicly, for the drafts and the state of the roster, whereas Mayo has nothing to do with that.
So you've said this before, and I agree with it, and you guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. A lot of Celtics talk early in the show. We'll get back to the Celtics raising the banner last night. They look unbeatable. Tatum was awesome. They did shoot a lot of threes. They were a bit shaky on defense, but overall, not a lot of nitpicks for the C's last night. We'll talk to Robert Horry about it at 12:45. We'll get into Would You Rathers coming up about 15 minutes from now on Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. But you said this before, Keefe, and I do agree with it. A lot of people may have felt they'd be 1-6 at this point in time. So the record in and of itself isn't the indictment on Mayo. It's what's going on off the field. Like, players getting in trouble with the law, players getting mixed up with the police in Providence, players up to God knows what in London, which people are really not happy with your questions.
I hate that
question. Vinny from the challenge.
Oh, Vinny from the challenge, you coward.
Something,
he hasn't responded. I wrote back.
Something called Keegan Stifle over at Nesson really took you to task, Keith.
I know.
I was unaware of his work.
Not one but two rivals.
But my goodness, we've developed some rivals over asking something that one of Christian Gonzalez's teammates, yeah, brought up.
Kendrick Bourne brought it up.
Nesson.com angry at you.
Wow.
Vinny from the challenge, yeah, angry at you, Keith.
I almost didn't come to work today.
For asking the tough questions around there. I'd like to hear something called Keegan Stifle, his next question, in a press conference. Trust me, if I ever hear it,
he's
we'll make sure we dissect it.
Everything else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope it's not cringe-inducing.
Oh, my God.
And dumb, like your questions were.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's all the off-field stuff with Mayo as well. And now you have Mayo correcting himself left and right, having to walk things back every single time he opens his mouth, calling the team soft, Bill undermining him on a national stage. That, to me, is the real problem, Keith. It's not just the record. It's not being 1-6. It's not the team getting worse seemingly week over week, out over week. They can't stop the run on defense. They're getting shredded on his side of the football. It's not just that. it's also everything else that comes along. Mm-hmm.
You feel like more wins next season than this past season? Like, is that?
I do feel that way.
That's okay. Not going to help him.
So we got you on you record.
You got me on record.
Yeah. All right.
That
good.
We're going to win more than four games.
Yeah.
I'm on record.
You're on record?
Absolutely.
All right, good. All right, good. All right.
You gotta get going. You gotta get on a little bit of a heater right now.
Time to wake up.
You wanna get to five wins, you gotta get going a little bit. No, and I also think it's one of those things where knowing a team's gonna be bad, right? And Robert Kraft over the last 4 years has really changed his goals and like expectations. Remember, it was like winning a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. winning a playoff game, making the playoffs,
yeah.
just having fun. Like it's kind of changed each year.
Yeah.
And so he, even this year, I think, I forget who was talking with him. Might have been an NFL Network thing where it was like he didn't want to put even like a win total on it.
Nope.
Like, so that's how far it is fallen. And it's one thing to, before the year begins, say, yeah, they might be 1-6. They might be 2-5. And you're like, yeah, that'd be tough. But then when you're living it,
it's
a week in between each game, and you just lost. You got blown out by the Niners. You got blown out by the Jets. You have the ugliest game maybe football fans have ever seen against the Dolphins. You blow a 10-point lead to the Jaguars. Like, that's so much different than me just telling you what the record is.
Right.
Like, other bad teams around the league that we're not watching.
You have to live it in real time.
Yes, it's way different, right? Like, you're like, oh, the Titans suck, but I'm not watching the Titans every week.
No.
So, like, I don't really know just how bad it is. But when you're in it every single week and really no end in sight, much different.
They're a joke.
Yeah.
They're inept. And no one expected this level of ineptitude. No one expected them to look this bad.
Right.
And have this many distractions off the field. Mayo to look so over his head. Like, no one expected that. No one. And so it's worse. And so here's the calculus for me, Keith. Again, and I've said this a bunch. When the bullseye turns to Kraft and he has to play the game now where, yeah, he looks like a clown for handpicking Gerard Mayo 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Shoving Bill out the door, which I was okay with, putting Mayo in his place, not even bothering to interview anyone else.
So that's insane to me.
And comparing it to picking a wife.
Right.
Like, does he look like a clown for that? Sure. But, is it a popular PR move to fire Gerard Mayo? And does he look at it and say, all right, this is where I can get some people back on my side? Like,
do you think
instance,
he has it in him to go full, I was wrong, and now we're going to do the process completely different than how I did it before?
I mean, you would have to do some interviews. You can't just, like,
no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Unless, like the joke is, like, you sneaky had another guy in waiting. Like, you've been grooming, like, somebody else to be the coach.
T.C. McCurdy.
You're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
I just think that is going to be, you know, at some point, Robert Kraft is probably going to have a press conference where he either sticks by Mayo, and you're like, all right, what is that? Or he says he got it wrong and now has to hire somebody else, and then everybody's going to start questioning every gut decision he's ever made.
Right, but I think that's the lesser of two evils, in all honesty. And let me give you an example.
It's the quicker way to move on, probably,
yeah.
But I just don't see it happening.
Okay, yeah. Let me give you an example, though. Mike Vrabel's out there and available. Now, look, that would probably be another sham hiring process, and maybe they do interviews for show, but we'd all look at it like Vrabel was the guy. Supposedly they wanted Vrabel last year when he was in the owner's box and he was sitting there sidling up to Robert Kraft.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would Vrabel take it?
Okay, let's say he would.
Okay.
Let's say Vrabel would.
I don't know if he would either. So I just think, real quick, sorry to interrupt, but if you are looking at the Patriots and they fire Mayo, so they fired Bill Belichick.
Yep.
They gave 1 year to Gerard Mayo,
yep.
And now they're like, we want you to have the job, we want you to have it forever. I'd be like, you just fired those two guys? Like, the best coach ever, and then like you're one of your best friends, you fired both of those guys? Like, what chance do I have?
Yeah, I mean, again, does Vrabel have a lot of options?
No.
We thought Vrabel was going to have options last year, and he didn't.
I thought
he was going to be a red-hot coaching candidate. He didn't have any options.
But
he's like an assistant on the Browns.
But maybe part of him is like, you didn't even give me a sniff? Remember there was that joke that they were like, maybe they would, and maybe they were talking about it.
Remember,
he brought him back for the Hall of Fame thing?
I get it. So look, yeah, right. We were just talking about that. So if Vrabel doesn't want the job, then that's another story. But just from a PR standpoint.
Yeah.
You fire Mayo and replace him with Mike Vrabel.
I think that'd be a win.
That's a PR win.
That's a win.
And so I think Kraft might look at it at some point and go, I need wins. And if I take an L on my gut and I look like a clown for putting Mayo in place and Bill and all his cronies, you know, Matt Patricia with the potato chips all over his chest, like they're going to mock them and have a field day with it. But it'll be popular with your fan base. Kraft may reach a point where he goes, I need wins.
And people do
and this
move
is a
on.
Win.
People do move on quick.
Yeah.
Like, that is one thing. There's always something else around the league, around sports, just in the news where you could be like, yeah, I made a mistake, but I corrected that mistake.
Right.
Like, I would rather you change course
right? Like John Henry, all of a sudden, if he had a complete change of heart on how he wanted to go about it, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what the hell these last 5 years were about, but if you're signing Juan Soto now, then like, okay, I'll take it.
Well, let me give you a Celtics analogy. You made this earlier in the show, and it's a good one. Like, Brad Stevens got on the job for 2 seconds, and he's like, Kemba, you're done. And it's like, okay, like we made a mistake. We're moving on. Let's do this, right?
He didn't even set up his office yet, and he traded Kemba Walker. I want nothing to do with him.
We made a mistake. We're bringing back Al Horford, which at the time I thought you were just taking on a contract. Turns out he had a ton left in the tank.
Yep.
And so you admit a mistake. And I guess maybe that was easier for Brad because it wasn't his signing.
No, this is like really personal. Yeah. That's why if I had to bet right now, is Mayo back next year, I would still bet yes.
Okay, but what was your percentage he would survive the year in the offseason? 100%?
100%.
What is it now?
75.
Yeah, so it's dropped.
It's lower.
It's dropped. Yeah. And so,
and I think like Florio's point, one thing you also couldn't expect is, all right, they're 1-6. Okay, maybe he did expect that. But him coming on there and be like, we got a soft team.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, they're playing soft. It's like, wow. On the one hand, it's refreshing that you have a person talking, but like, does he even believe it, or does he have to be told? So he gives you his initial thoughts, then he has a meeting, and he realizes like, oh, that's not playing well.
No, I
got to now change it. Yeah. So now I don't really feel that way. And it's like, dude, what a mess.
Yeah.
Everybody's head is spinning.
We're
right
gonna
now.
Burn cash. He's gonna walk that back.
We're bringing in talent 1,000%. So have a lot of cap space.
Love it.
And cash. Ready to burn some cash.
Yeah, ready to burn some cash.
That was from the same interview with the Greg Hill Show where he said the four wins and burn some cash.
He had
same
to walk
interview.
Back right away. That they were he basically gave away they were drafting a quarterback. He had to walk that back. He had to walk back, burn some cash. He's going to have to walk back winning more than four games.
Yeah.
He had to walk back how soft they are. He bungled the whole quarterback announcement early. Remember all that where he's like, well, we're going to talk to the team first, and they're going to find out. They all found out on social media.
Ew.
Like, everything is a mess. Everything. You know, for all
our pets' heads are falling off.
Seriously. Yeah. For all the talk of Optum, Keith, do they teach PR there? Like, I imagine they teach PR there. For all the talk of,
did he not
like,
take the course?
Maybe
he didn't take the online 30-minute course. You gotta watch those videos, Gerard.
Yeah, were you there that day? Because for all the talk about Optum and living in the corporate world, did they teach PR there? Because it doesn't feel that way.
A guy who worked in the corporate world, and he also did a media job.
Oh, God.
How could he be so bad at both?
Yeah, maybe we got to go back and dissect how well he did in the media.
Because it doesn't seem like he's doing a lot coaching-wise.
No.
So you would think he would be like the
very
perfect
little,
kind of
shockingly
voice for
little,
it.
Yeah.
No, but like, if all like the run, like all the things, and it's low on the list of responsibilities.
Yep.
Bill Belichick snorted into the mic for 20 years and was the best coach there was. So I'm not saying you have to be good at that, but that's one thing that you thought he would be good at.
Uh huh.
And
he's the worst at it.
He's so bad at it because he keeps changing his tune.
Well, this is one that I feel a little bit more when people are like, oh, you shoved Bill out the door. And now you want to shove his replacement out the door. It's like, well, I never wanted the replacement.
Nobody wanted Mayo. Both things can be true. Okay. You can want Belichick gone, and you cannot want Mayo now.
Those can
both be true.
Here's one I feel a little bit more, and I think is more fair.
Okay.
Bill said nothing for years. You guys were mad about it. Now Mayo says too much, and you're mad about that. Like,
no, so
I do think there should be a happy medium in between Bill saying nothing and Mayo saying too much and then having to correct it. But
yeah.
I think that's a more fair criticism.
I understand that criticism, but I'm not telling Mayo to shut up. I'm just saying, like, what is it? How do you feel?
Right.
Don't feel one way on Sunday and then differently on Monday.
Once you say it, stick with it.
Yeah, like, I'm happy. Like, I think it's better. I prefer it. I think, because I look at it's also an entertainment product. Like, things don't have to be so secretive. It's not that big of a deal. And so if you say that a guy is injured versus, like, we'll have to look at the tape, like, what's the huge difference there?
Right.
Give us a little intel. We're very invested in this team. But if you're going to have these pretty bold statements that the team is soft, then the next time you speak, you're like, no, playing soft. That's why you're like, all right, maybe I get why Bill did it, because he never had to correct himself because he never said anything to begin with. Well, Mayo now, like, he's making it more difficult on himself.
What was your analogy with arguing with your wife again?
Oh, it's like, you said I was a psycho. I didn't say you're a psycho. I said you're acting like a psycho. Or you could choose some other words as well if you wanted to.
There's a lot you could fill in there. So Mike Florio thinks Gerard Mayo could talk his way right out of a job.
Well, the other crazy part, like
Greg Bedard thinks he's not a short of a second year. We're not even midway through the year.
That was going to be my point. There's
10 more games.
Seven games, and this is what it looks like. And I think the Jacksonville game kind of magnified things a little bit.
Yep.
Not just because it was in London. That's not important to me. I think it's important to Kraft, but because that team stunk. That team was about to fire their coach. That team was thinking about benching their quarterback.
Yep.
He has his best game against them. It gives Doug Peterson life at least for a couple more weeks. I mean, he might still not survive the year, but they beat the Patriots. They beat them pretty soundly, especially after the Patriots got out to that good start. So now you're looking at a team that has already fired their coach with the Jets coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tennessee, who stinks, they're trading away wide receivers. If you lose, though, like that's a 1-8. And it's two other teams that aren't great. Yeah. Not, like, two teams with losing records that you're playing.
And I would wager on in the meantime, beyond just what's happening on the field, I would wager on in the meantime, Mayo says something else where he has to put his foot in his mouth.
Talks today.
It might happen in like 2 minutes, Keith. He's about to hit the podium. I'm sure he's going to be asked about Bill Belichick and all these things.
We'll be all over it.
And we'll be reacting to it. So like he might have to correct himself today. And they'll probably have another off-field incident. Okay. I'd wager on them having another off-field incident Mayo having to correct himself at least a couple of times based on the way this year is going.
Yeah,
I think that's an easy bet.
Well, hopefully nobody asks them about the food in London because then people are going to get really upset.
That's cringe-inducing, Keith. That's dumb is what that is.
Yeah, I can go to the next
question. Says the aggregator at Nessun and the guy who got kicked off the challenge.
Guy's on the high horse. Yeah, the challenge guy from the clouds. The other guy covers the sport.
I love the challenge. Don't make me turn against the challenge, Vinny.
No.
But I will.
But that's the thing.
You come after Keith, I'll turn against the challenge.
There are villains on the challenge, though, Jones. You can't root for everybody.
That's a good point. You know, for every CT, you have bananas or a West.
Correct.
And you got Vinny ripping girls' shirts off. 617-779-7937. Coach is in New Hampshire. Hello, Coach.
Yeah, a little different perspective on the Mayo hiring. If I'm a college coach or an NFL assistant, don't we live in a world where if you put in the work, you should be given an opportunity to advance yourself? Like, we worry, the NFL worries about the Rooney Rule and making sure everyone adheres to it. But how about a rule for Robert Kraft where, hey, I'll tell you what, you may own the team, but you got to at least interview 2, 3, 4, 5 candidates. I think it was a sham, and I'm really upset about it.
Yeah, so I don't know if the league should mandate it. Like, I'm okay with them mandating having to interview minority candidates. Like, I'm okay with that as a rule because traditionally they weren't getting jobs.
I think for the sake of your franchise, though, you should interview. No. Even if it's sort of like, hey, we want Mayo.
So I agree with this. This is what I was going to say. You don't need a rule for it in this case, but Kraft should have said, look, Gerard, we think you're the guy. We're going to make you interview and we're going to interview some other candidates. What was the harm in that? What was the harm in interviewing some other candidates along with Mayo?
Especially in this scenario where you had one coach for 20 years and you decided it was time to move on from him, which I agreed with. But then your replacement is a guy who only played here and only coached here. Like, you're not listening to expand your horizons a little bit. Nothing else, no other outside philosophies at all. We're just like, we know Bill's the problem, and we know Gerard, who has only coached with or played for Bill Belichick. It's not even like he played a season somewhere else or coached all year somewhere else.
No.
They're like, oh, he worked in the corporate world. I'm like, what, with any offensive coordinators?
What did he learn there?
Did he have any defensive coordinators? Like, who do you work with? Like, just business people. You're like, all right, great.
Yeah.
So that part, I feel like you're letting yourself down a little bit. Like, you have an opportunity to hear some other voices and some other ideas on how to do things.
Or you can just go to Israel and just listen to whoever's on that trip and pick your next coach.
That's
a good plan.
Put it in a contract, too, that you have to hire him.
Correct. So this is not a second guess. I actually feel like most Patriots fans, I don't want to say all, I think most Patriots fans felt that that was a silly, foolish process. And we all saw it in real time.
Agreed.
We're like, just open it up and interview outside, you can still hire Mayo if you think he's the best guy at the end of the day.
No, I agree. I think 50% of the fans wanted Belichick to stay, 50% wanted him gone, give or take a percentage or two, and then nobody was thrilled with Mayo. It was either you and I had the thought, many others as well, somebody outside of the tree, find an offensive guy, and then others said Mike Vrabel. I'm like, all right, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Nobody was really clamoring for Gerard Mayo to be the head coach. And now here we are 7 weeks into the season, and you're like, I wonder how they feel about it now.
Again, Bedard says he's not assured a second season.
Oof.
Florio says he could talk his way out of a job.
Oh, boy.
In a related story, he'll be talking soon.
Ew.
We'll see what he has to say here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's a Would You Rather Wednesday.
Mr. Tucker, how are we doing today?
I am doing fantastic, fellas. How are you?
We're doing great. We're live down here for the Celtics opener, but we do want to talk Patriots with you, in particular, the drama from, first of all, another pretty good game from Drake May, but a defensive effort that had the head coach calling his team soft, walking it back, and now getting shrapnel from all sides, basically, of people saying you shouldn't call your team soft. What's your take on the Mayo's reaction, and do you agree there with Belichick and Brady that that's not really a great thing to do?
Yeah, I think certainly a learning moment for Gerard, right? By the way, I can totally see what he was thinking when he said it, because if you watch the game, you know, Tank Bigsby and those, they were running right through him.
Sure were.
You know, they did look like a soft team at times, and certainly not like the Patriots that we're used to seeing. So I think he was frustrated and gave his honest assessment. Now, I guess I would submit to you that the physicality of a team is a lot of times a reflection, and the effort is considered a reflection of the head coach. So maybe that's in particular why he was so frustrated, but you know, that's been a marked change in Detroit since Dan Campbell got there. And so I think, you know, if Mayo's going to say that, not only is it a poor reflection on his players, but it's a bad look for him. You know, it's a bad look for him if his players, if he feels like they're soft out there. And that was kind of my biggest takeaway just watching the game. I don't know if you guys should feel better or worse that Drake May is like the least of your issues. I guess better, because he's kind of the future. And again, he did some really good things, and he's encouraging. But then you look at what's happening elsewhere on the team, and it's special teams, it's defense, it's like Hunter Henry false starting. I mean, even the areas of the team or the guys on the team that the Patriots are supposed to be able to count on, they are not able to do so.
So the on-field feels like it's almost become the least of the problems with this team. They've had a number of guys with interactions with the law in recent weeks. They've had a number of guys going on social media bitching about their roles or how their situation was handled. They've had guys talking to the media about teammates in terms of egos and selfish play. Have you been on teams like this, and is it salvageable? Is the coach able to pull out of a situation like this, or are there some teams that are just rotten to the core and you need a reset the next year?
Yeah, I have been on teams like that. And I guess it is salvageable, and it's in large part based on whether you're just winning or not, right? I mean, it's not that complicated, but
right.
I was on an 0-5 team in Washington in 2001. A lot of finger pointing there. A lot of guys not on the same page. Then we won a game, then we won another one, then we won another one, and all of a sudden it was like kumbaya, you know? Probably the same in Buffalo in 04 when we started off 0-4 and then went 9-2 in our next 11. But other years, 2002 Cowboys, there was a lot of that. 2003 Bills, there was a lot of that, and it wasn't salvageable. And the head coach got fired at the end of both those years. Now, in both those instances, Dave Campbell and Greg Williams, it was their third year. So it wasn't their first year like Mayo, but he is being tested from all fronts, and it's he is getting a baptism by fire. You know, I think he knew that it would be a rebuilding year. They knew that, you know, when they traded Judah, they knew what the deal was. But it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to play young guys, we're going to have a bunch of cap space and draft picks in future years and all that stuff. It's another thing when you're actually going through it and guys are doing the things that you guys referenced. I think the thing that would be most concerning, if I'm a Patriots fan, is this is how these guys are performing, and this is how they're acting after Elliott Wolf rewarded so many of these guys with extensions.
Yep.
I mean, they've given so many of these guys contracts,
And I think part of – I think that thought process was like twofold, right? Number one, these are core guys that we believe in that we think are part of the solution. And then number two, hey, it might be ugly this year. You know, we need to make sure that the guys that we think are part of the solution are taken care of and realize that they've got financial security. They're going to be here so that they can be the leaders of when things go south. Well, that's certainly not happening with some of the things going on and off the field.
We're talking with Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. He's brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, is it fair for someone like Bill Belichick, who had a hand in this roster, maybe not in the offseason, but certainly in some of the players that this group inherited, is it fair for him to be taking a victory lap right now?
Well, I mean, I don't know that he's really taking a victory lap. You know, he's in the picture now. He was asked a question he probably did not like. You know, a lot of guys that he brought in were called soft. Did not think that was a good decision by Mayo. I would be really curious to see what the reaction would have been if someone was sort of Belichick's pelts on the wall had said the same thing, right? Because there's absolutely things that Belichick could and did get away with that first-time coaches or young head coaches would not at all have been able to get away with, which is why I'm kind of fascinated to see where he lands next year and to see if he changes his style at all. But, you know, one thing I really appreciate about Belichick in the media is he is settling all scores. You know?
It's like Michael Corleone.
He's got the microphone, and whether it's the Falcons hiring practices or free agency or the Jets, or whatever, you know, obviously Mayo and the Patriots, he is using that. And he, like, as you guys know, he knows exactly what he's doing. He was the first head coach I ever saw that when I had to lift at whatever it was, 6 a.m. in the morning, he was always on the treadmill, walking like incline, which is a good thing to do, and he would have the thickest packet of clips.
Yep.
From both the Patriots beat writers and the opposing team. And so he'd have a couple highlighters there, and he would highlight all the things that, you know, to, like, what were the storylines that we were going to be asked. Also, what guys said that he didn't like, and they shouldn't have said that. And then in particular, any little morsel of information from the opponent that might be, you know, beneficial for the game. So he is very, 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 by far, the most media-conscious head coach I ever played for. I played for 9 in the NFL.
Not to brag, Ross, but I was the one who gave him those clips in 2001. I was the graduate assistant in the media relations department at the time, and I used to have to do those clips at like 5 in the morning. Patriots clips, opponents clips, national clips, and he got a massive stack of them to take to the treadmill with him. So it was, I can validate your story. Question. So, Drake May, you mentioned, he's not the problem right now. But can he be the solution, and can he be the solution for a team that seems to lack direction and leadership? Can he pull this team up by its bootstraps as a rookie quarterback, or is that even unfair for him to be asked to do that or try to do that?
I think that's probably too much to ask, given what's around him. But he can certainly give the fans and the other players hope. You know, they see what he's doing. They see some of the throws he makes. He gives them a chance, which is why the last couple weeks has to be even more frustrating. You know, you got a young kid at quarterback who's giving you a chance. Now, there's some ball placement issues at times. There's certainly some room for improvement with Drake, no doubt. But that's to be expected. But you would think that those guys would be excited, kind of rally around having, hey, we got a young quarterback that we might have the guy. You know, and I don't know that they're ready to declare him that yet, but I think they all have to be really encouraged, because no matter what you see from a guy in preseason games or practice or whatever, you still don't really know how they're going to perform when it's live bullets, when defensive coordinators are game planning for them, when they're going against the opponent's best,
and they're seeing new things every week, which, by the way, is something to really keep an eye on the next few games, right? So whenever you get a rookie quarterback, these D coordinators, they're going to try different things. How does he handle, you know, blitz zero? How does he handle a three-man rush? How does he handle this coverage, that coverage? And so they're trying to figure out right now what works best, what May struggles with the most. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one of these games coming up, they kind of figure something out and he has kind of a clunker of a game, a few picks or whatever. The real test of him then will be how he bounces back from that in terms of the adversity. And also the next team's going to do the exact same thing that the guy before, the week before did. So we'll see if that's like a fatal flaw that he can't overcome, or it's just something that, you know, he needs to not make the same mistake twice.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Ross Tucker, thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.